We're going to be talking about Blade.
Uh-huh.
We haven't watched the movie yet.
Nope.
What do you know about Blade?
I know it's a vampire superhero fights unknown villain. I don't know.
Okay, I've made you watch a lot of movies that I loved growing up and even more recently. Do you have a favorite of all those films that I have pointed out to you?
Alien is one of them.
The second one, Aliens?
Aliens.
Okay.
I liked Terminator and Terminator 2. Yeah, those were my picks.
Okay, that's good enough. So, with Blade, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to see Blade?
5, because I've never seen it before, and also I was never really thinking of seeing it.
Okay, so we're going to stop, and we're going to come back after you have seen Blade, and we shall discuss it.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello. Very good. Right, can we clap or something? I'm holding this microphone with my penis.
It's rather impressive. The microphone, not your penis.
Fucking hell. Ready? Right. Right, hang on. Right. Right.
All right. Here we go.
That...
Fuck's sake. Who clapped like 10 minutes later there? I can't even see you. I'm on my Hindenburg.
We've clapped across time.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be fine. Fucking hell. Right, let me get these fucking notes up. Oh, Christ.
Why don't you just do actual notes?
I used to. Well, yeah, I'm going to probably start doing that again.
Actually. Oh, I know why you didn't.
Oh, fucking hell. Fuck you, Fiona.
I can attempt an Irish accent if that makes you any more comfortable.
Oh, please don't. She's not here this week, thank God. Right.
Ben bit down, he lost with a tooth. There you go, I can give it a slight go.
Right, so who's hosting this episode?
Well, it is your show, is it not?
Well, Dan, come on, it's our show. Come on now.
Oh,
everyone gets a turn to host Film Vloggers, because I don't like doing it. So, who wants it this week?
I'm just happy to get the episode rolling, so if you want me to kick things off, we can go here.
Right? Oh, okay.
Dan's kicked right in.
So,
no pretense.
So here we go, right? Like, this is a product of the website that you slaved over, right? This is how we got to Blade.
He didn't slave over it. An Indian man did.
Oh, God. That's...
Let's get it right.
Many did. And I did as well. No, well, Dan, actually, thank you for bringing the website up, because I wanted you to... shout out the website. I wanted you to shout out our Patreon. What else did I want you to shout out? What else are we doing? We're just doing so many good things at the moment. I think the website and the Patreon will be sufficient for now. If you want to just go ahead and shout those out while I get the vote count up for this week's episode, because I'm glad you two are sitting down, because it is a biggie. We had many, many votes. So, Dan, please take it away. Just shout out the stuff and let me get the numbers up.
Sarah doesn't want me to do it.
Well, I'll stall for you, but basically that little preamble you did there, doesn't that technically count as shouting out the website? Is it Film Vloggers? I don't know. I don't write down or visit the website at all.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I don't know if I'm...
Okay.
I don't know if I'm able to actually...
I believe...
Accurately...
Yes. I believe it is www.filmvloggers.com.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yes. Do you know the Patreon? Do you know the...
Definitely not. No.
Oh. Okay. Sean, as a patron here, do you know how to find Film Vloggers on Patreon?
You pay for this shit? I just come on here for free. This is crazy.
Believe it or not, I do.
Now, Dan, this is the sort of stuff that you say off mic, okay? Fucking hell, we're trying to sell this to people.
Yes, I do.
Good. It's a bargain, isn't it?
I'm doing it for Fiona. It's for Fiona, not for Ben.
Oh. All right.
That's good. It's off to a great start here.
We'll do some more shouts out at the end. Nitpickers. Very, very funny. I'll let Sean talk about nitpickers at the end of the show. We have talked about a Marvel film, haven't we? Because Logan was a Marvel film, wasn't it? Wasn't in the MCU, but it was a Marvel film.
Not in the MCU, but a Marvel property.
Right, so I've got no issue with Marvel. I don't really have anything bad or good to say about it. I'm just whatever.
It just is what it is, right?
I'm not passionate enough about it to start getting angry about it. But I sort of thought, well, if we're going to come together and maybe do something marvelly, Logan was just a bit of a mistake. I don't really plan to do that. I thought, why don't we just get some films that are Marvel, but not part of the MCU? What do you think of that? Is that a good idea?
That was a fantastic idea. Again, as someone who does not visit your website, well, what were the choices to vote on for this particular episode?
Yeah, I boobed on this slightly for the Masters of the Universe. I forgot what films were in the poll, but I've improved and I've got them all here. So we had Blade. We had Captain America 1990.
Okay.
Anyone seen that?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never seen it from start to finish.
Right. We had Ang Lee's Hulk. That was an interesting one. Bloody hell. CGI. Oh, boy. We had 2003's Daredevil with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded that.
Yeah. We had The Punisher 2004. Dan, I know you like that one.
Love that movie.
And finally, we had Fantastic Four, the 1994 version.
The one that was actually never officially released.
So the one they made just to get the rights? That terrible one? Yeah.
It was never officially released?
It was never released.
No.
No, they just... The only reason they made that film was so the studio... I think it was Roger Corman. No, Roger Corman directed it. But the studio that had the rights for it, they were going to revert back to Marvel if they didn't produce something by a certain date. So they're like, screw it. We have $1 million. Can we make this film so we're able to retain the rights for a future project? And that's the only reason that was made. It never had any intention of being released. But I think bootleg copies were like floating around there in the tape trading days. And then once the advent of YouTube and streaming, all that stuff existed, you can find copies online.
Kind of a reverse Batgirl.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Right. So yeah, I guess that's probably for the best that they didn't win, I suppose. We'd have to got all the fans to find bootleg copies of it to watch. But
to be honest with you, I've seen a couple reviews on it. And again, the quality is poor based on the amount that was spent on it. But take that away, apparently it's not that bad of a movie. Like all things considered for what they had to work with. So take that for what you will.
Have you seen the other ones? You had the first two with Jessica Alba and Chris Evans, which were like, ugh. And then...
No, they were all right. I didn't mind them.
I enjoyed the first Fantastic Four. Yeah, I mean, it was shot here in Vancouver, so I've got that connection to it. But I thought they were in those stages of trying to figure out, what are we going to do with comic book movies? You know,
a bit that, like they are now.
Oh.
That weird transition from 1989... till about, I don't know, 2008, or maybe I would say 2005 when we got Batman Begins. And then people were like, okay, hold on here. We can actually put some quality effort into making these films and they'll get a decent return. They don't have to be campy. They don't have to be goofy. But anyways, we're getting kind of lost in the weeds here.
Batman and Batman Returns weren't campy.
Batman Returns wasn't campy?
Oh, campier than Batman.
Have you watched
Batman Burton Batman
recently?
Well, of course I've seen. I watched it.
That is about peak campiness.
Batman and Robin's peak campiness.
It starts right there. Once they got the Penguin and running for mayor and he's taken over the Batmobile with the remote control. We're starting to trend towards 66 Batman.
I am. Well,
I'm not saying it's a bad movie or you can't like it. Yeah. I'm just saying that's what it was.
I prefer that direction to the direction we've gone in with Batman now, but that's besides the point. I won't get into that.
I'll jump in, actually, because, and it's linked in because this is the film we're doing this week and actually won the poll with a massive... Okay, hang on, so just let me just repeat.
Oh, sure, let's get those numbers out.
Yes. Everyone's sitting down, good. I'm lying down on my bed, which is a terrible idea.
It's a good look for you.
We had a ginormous, gargantuan 67 vote this
Jesus.
Week. 67.
That's huge.
That's impressive.
That means at least 67 people have been to that website, Dan, and not one of them was you.
No.
Can you believe it?
That's
67.
That's great.
Yeah, I didn't vote either. So oh. There you go,
that's another one. Well, fuck me. Okay. Well, there you go. 67 people came to the vlog at www.filmvloggers.com and voted. And Blade won quite comprehensively, got 64.7% of the vote.
Fair enough. I can understand that. Yeah. I can understand why.
Yeah, Captain America came second, 17.6, and then Hulk limped in with 5.9 in third. So, yeah, I can now close that window. Thank fuck. Right, okay. So, you talked about Batman Begins as when this whole comic book stuff and Marvel and all this stuff started to... Well, I know Batman Begins isn't Marvel, but considering some of the films I just said about the Captain Americas and Fantastic Fours and... There was a slew of superhero films in the 90s, wasn't there? And they were all, you know, some were good, some were bad. Most of them were a complete cheese fest. So when Blade came out, it was like, shit. Okay, here we go.
Well, without having a list in front of me, I would say that Blade was probably the most successful Marvel IP that had been released. Because, again, beyond that, I can only think of the Captain America and the unreleased Fantastic Four movie. But Blade was sort of, I guess you could say, almost taking it back a bit to the 1989 Batman as far as being a darker tone, right? There wasn't too much silliness in it. It was rated R, which is something that you generally didn't see with comic book movies of that time because they want to appeal to kids. But you take this character, Blade, the vampire, the daywalker, and it wasn't a very popular character. So I guess they kind of had free range, like, okay, do whatever you want with it. Like, if it's going to work, it'll work. If not, who cares?
Yeah, apparently it started off as a Black Panther because Wesley Snipes was in talks to play Black Panther, and then it merged into this. But as Dan was saying about the merge there, I kind of get where it's coming from in terms of where it all kind of begins, but this was like the first real MCU that kind of made any kind of, not MCU, sorry, the first Marvel film that made any money. So then it, or enough of it that people took notice. And it shows, like you were saying about a dark tone, I completely agree that that's what I love about this. We see what
you didn't like the dark tone movies. I thought that was not your thing.
No, I just don't like the Batman. That wasn't a dark tone. That was just poor. But on the other, on the side of... No, I like the dark tone in this. Like, you see what happens recently with Morbius. Is it Morbius? Is that DC or Marvel?
It's Marvel, isn't it? Morbius?
Yeah. Is Morbius? Whatever. You see what happens when
it
vampire films...
It sucked, apparently.
Yeah, and then...
John probably liked it.
I don't think I've seen.
Sorry, Sean. Let me just interject just for a second, because of course I'm obviously a horrific host. That's why I was trying to pass the duties along. I should say we have Sean from Review It Yourself. We're about 13 minutes in, so I thought I'd just let everyone know that Sean's back. Hi, Sean. Nice to see you. And we've got Dan Mackles here, unfortunately. Dan Mackles and Sean have got a little bit of a friendly rivalry, so it's fantastic to have them both back on the show. Go and listen to our Face Off episode, because that was pretty lively. There were some, several moments where things got a little bit heated, shall we say?
Heated?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Okay.
No, I'm just
mucking around. I'm just about Dolly
like
the
Sheep. Like, a rivalry has
got
to be something where two forces are operating on the same level.
Oh!
I don't really feel there's any rivalry or tension in that regard.
Interesting, yes.
Back to Blade. So where were we at? Sean was talking about how... This they went for a darker tone, and we had some actual success for Marvel. Pick up your point.
Oh, thank you. That was pretty much it. But I think Blade gets forgotten because everybody, especially when Black Panther came along, people kind of forgot. Like, Blade seems to be like, it was a decent, first two were good, third one's a bit ropey, even though it's got a Canadian in it. So, you know, but the first two were pretty solid and they did a decent job. But then they kind of get forgotten about. Like, nobody goes, oh, what's the best superhero film when someone goes Blade? Unless they're really in, like, because as Dan said, this obsession with, not, I'm not saying Dan has an obsession, but this obsession with, like, oh, 2008, it's the whole movies began. You're like, no. Like, where have you, like, so, this is what I mean about superhero films. Like, it's all so consuming now. I don't know why you've picked me to come out of this, Ben. it's just like, oh, give it a rest. Like, not you, Dan, but like, you know, just in terms of how obsessive, like, you know, it's like, oh, the whole MCU, like, I couldn't care less. I've done one superhero film of mine, and it was No Way Home, and it's my highest rated episode, so clearly I'm not going where the votes are.
I was about to say, the irony of that, yeah, the irony of that is that you almost fucking went viral with that, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm swimming again. Yeah, well, you know me, stupid. I'll do what I want to do, not what you want, which is the attitude of Marvel.
I thought I'd get you on, Sean, because, you know, one, you're a fantastic guy, and I like talking to you, but Blade, because it's not quite the conventional Marvel film. It's on the, you know, in the 90s, so it's not part of the MCU. I know you have probably a stronger opinion than me when it comes to Marvel. As I said, I'm sort of so-so. I think Mr. Mackles up there is a fan of Marvel. Maybe he's dropping off a little bit as it goes on, but so I'm in the middle, and you two, you know, have at it. In between talking about Blade, of course.
Look, my opinion on the MCU is this. They did something leading up to Endgame that had never really been done before, is an expanded universe where you have up to 20 films, characters crossover, you've built this whole entity, and everything with what began with the Iron Man film to when it ended in 2019, it felt like it had a purpose, this driving purpose towards the big bad, which was Thanos. And I think that accomplishment to make that many films, have them all tie in together relatively seamlessly, and be successful and be worth watching was quite the feat. And I enjoyed them all. The problem is they've created this juggernaut, and then as they've moved into phase four, we're not really gearing towards something. We're not working towards something. We're sort of just meandering along, in my opinion, and none of it has grabbed me as the original first three phases were. Now, that doesn't mean it's bad or not worthwhile. They're still making money, and it's like ice cream. You have people that like vanilla ice cream, right? And you have people that like chocolate. They're movies. They're entertaining action movies. And if you like it, awesome. If you don't, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just not someone that needs to shit on something because I don't connect with it, right? If it's something that I'm not interested in, let's say the Harry Potter stuff, a lot of people live and die with that. It's something I never connected with, but I'm not going to sit here and shit on it. That's just my thought on it.
I wouldn't say I'm shitting on it. I just think my annoyance with the MCU, right? No. Oh, if you want me to shit on it, I'll go to town. But on the side of because it's like Ben was saying, it's like the five stages of grief, right? Ben's in the acceptance stage. I'm in the anger stage. I'll get past.
What are you angry about?
God's sake, it's not that literal. I just mean in terms of like, my biggest issue with the Marvel films, they get a free pass all the time. Everyone fawns over themselves. And, oh, this is not going to be popular. But people are like, oh, this is the best film since the last one about 2 months ago. And you just like, look at them objectively. Like, and it is, like you said, it is impressive the way they built them up all the way to Endgame. Was that 2012?
No, 2012 was Avengers. Endgame was 2019.
Was it? That's not that long ago. Am I losing my mind?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Well, since then, I'll give them that. Like you said, Dan, it'd never been done before, ever, and it was impressive. I think I'm just one of these people that don't like giving things a free pass. Like if it's not a good film, then I'm like I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah, but again, like what are we comparing it against? Are we comparing it against Shawshank Redemption? Then yeah, no, Marvel films aren't going to stack up to shit like that, right? They sort of operate in their own little section of the movie going experience, you know. But okay, we could get lost down this rabbit hole. I think for the most part what I'm getting from you, Sean, and again, Ben's not going to commit to anything, he plays Mr. Neutral,
I'm the host, I talk too much, I just want to just sit back and relax. Yeah. I'm in bed, for Christ's sake. I've had a long day, bloody hell.
Yeah, you're pretty chill. When did you first see Blade there, Sean? Yesterday.
Well, I got bought Blade. No. I've got all three DVDs. I got. I think Blade 2 for some reason. Nice. My dad bought me for like nice. My 11th birthday or something. So what? 2003-ish. Yeah, about then. So the first Blade I saw was Blade 2.
I thought it was great.
Great film.
Yeah.
Del Toro, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I've been back and I've seen them since. So when I saw all three of them, I know, maybe 2010, maybe something like that. But I first saw them then, enjoyed them.
You know what I thought was interesting when I was taking my notes? I don't know about you guys, but I usually go to the Internet Movie Database just to kind of go over what actors were in it and who directed it. And this director, Stephen Norrington, the only other thing that I saw that he did after this of any significance was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was, you know, an absolute flop. And then that was it. Like, he was never, I don't know if he just said, fuck this, I'm not interested in it anymore, or no more offers were coming in. But you think after making a successful quality film, although we can point out some of the flaws in Blade, that you get a mulligan. You get at least one crap film. Like, okay, let's go back, maybe do something simpler and work up your resume again. I was surprised that he didn't do anything of any significance, really, after Blade.
Well, after you kill Sean Connery, after you make Sean Connery retire with a film, it's like, maybe this isn't for me. I noticed that as well. He didn't seem to make much. But then again, he turned down Blade 2. And he seems to be one of those directors when you read through what he's...
That was the same year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
Blade
so.
Blade 2 and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. 2002, 2003, somewhere. Right.
Blade 2 was the year before, I think. 2002. Well, yeah, you know, in around.
Yeah, I think Blade 2 was 2002.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, well, it'll have been the same year technically, won't it, if they were filming it. But I don't know. When you read the guy about the guy, the director, he seems to be one of these people who's like, he was about to direct it, but then he got dropped. He was about to do this, then he didn't. And you think he seems to be one of those people that it just kind of doesn't really happen for. But shame when you watch this because it's a decent film.
Yeah, I think right from the beginning, you're hooked into it. And I saw this when it came out. It was a new release. See you later, Sean. It was a new release when I went to the video store, and that opening shot where you see the dude and Tracy Lords. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tracy Lords or her history. It's like kind of like, oh shit, that's Tracy Lords. And they drive to that meatpacking facility, and then you got that wicked rave. I listened to the Shat the Movies recently did an episode on Blade, and it was interesting how they said this came out a year before The Matrix, and you almost wonder if The Matrix sort of took a little bit of inspiration from this, because it did feel very similar to The Matrix with those, you know, big action scenes with, you know, the one guy, the long black trench coat, taking down a bunch of minions. But right off the bat, you jumped right into it. I'm just like, okay, like I'm into this, man. I want to see what's going on here. What about you guys?
Yeah, great opening scene.
Ben, are you going to contribute, or are you just going to chill back in bed here?
No, I'll jump in. I'm just trying to let my guest talk, because I do find that when I have guests on, that I do like to talk and I like to hear my voice, because I'm the most interesting person on here. But I'm going to sit back, I'm going to relax, I'm going to let Sean go, then you go, and you know, if I feel like I need to say something, I'll jump in. I'm just relaxed. I'm having a nice time. I want to hear what you guys think. It's no big deal. Sean, please, after you.
What do you think about Keira Knightley's smile, Ben? I'm joking.
Let's not get into that. Go and listen to our Love Actually episode, Flogmas from last year. It was a hell of a lot of fun. Really good.
That's like Ben's Batman. If you throw Keira Knightley's smile at him, he goes mad. I'll work on it. Yeah, I put my first note was great opening scene. Bad fashion sense. I don't know what I meant by that. Probably just some of the way they were dressed, but it's
are we talking
90s.
About Blade, or are we talking about just some of the minions, butcher ravers?
Yeah. Some of them are right. Just like, what are you dressed as?
Did you feel the fashion really stuck out? I thought for a movie that took place in the 90s, it wasn't that egregious. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just because my fashion sense is stuck in the 80s or 90s, whatever. But I usually, when you watch a film that's almost 20 years older, I guess it's over 20
years
old.
Getting up to 30 years old.
Like, oh, God, that's just so tacky. I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was that bad, the fashion.
I thought Blade and his leather was the most offensive out of the whole film. Everyone else, I was
really. He looked fucking badass, man.
No. Oh, well, does he? Yeah, with a smile on my face, I'm saying, you know, I'm not offended by the leather, but it's just the thing with Blade and his leather is that he just walks around with the, you know, I know the sword is sort of hidden somewhat in the leather, but he's just walking around downtown. Everyone's just like, yeah, cool. Yeah, morning. Good day for it, isn't it?
I love the part when he's like beating the hell out of the cop and everyone's just walking past like, yeah. Some guy beat
yeah, exactly,
him
up. Yeah.
Who cares?
And he's got the lever on as well, and he's got the massive sword hanging out of his back, but fine.
Yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough.
We talked about the 90s on Face Off. Great decade. You know, I sort of wish I was a bit older. I wish I was going to these raves with blood everywhere. You know, brilliant. Great. Just a great decade of film.
Well, the dude with the Kangol hat is how I picture you at the club back in the day. You'd be rocking one of those. Yeah, you'd be rocking one of those, wouldn't you?
I'm pretty sure I've got something about you, and there's some dancing, isn't there? Some really dubious dancing. I was like, that's got to be Dan Mackles back in the 90s. It's got to be, isn't it, when he had hair. There he goes.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Raven was where it was at.
Yeah, oh, I've been to some raves. No blood. Didn't get showered with blood, but...
If that was a good scene...
Yeah, no. Phone parties.
Oh, Christ. Good point, yeah. Phone parties.
Oh, yeah.
No blood, though.
What's happening here?
It's just reminiscing really about quiet. Reminiscing
Everyone's
about phone
sort of
pies.
Reminiscing back in their
what
youth.
Absolute ridiculous concept that is phone pies. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I went to a couple and I'm like, this is gross. I feel gross.
Yeah, it is. It's fucking ridiculous. Crazy.
It's a very low energy episode, isn't it? I don't know what's like over there, Dan, but over here it's boiling hot. So I'm boiling.
Yeah, well, this is why I'm in bed, because the office that we recorded from last week was it's hot in here as well. But because of the echoey floor, I was like, let's just try it from bed. And that's why I'm just trying to relax. I'm not trying to talk too much. I'm trying to let you guys go at it. But yeah, iconic opening scene. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It held up. Really good fight scenes. Bopping up and down to the music. I was like, yeah, here we go. CGI. Not that fussed by it. It looked fine for 98. Wasn't that bothered by it.
Work in progress, right?
It gets bad later on.
Yeah, I'd say the longer the movie goes, the worse it gets, right? That opening scene where the vampires turn to dust was pretty sweet. Actually, I think it's kind of interesting. If I'm wrong on this, I stand to be corrected, but I believe the studio that worked on those effects was the studio that went on to do the dusting work for Avengers Infinity War when the snap happens and all the heroes start to dust away. So it was like, hey, you can see, they were working on that before they got there. It was pretty good. But
the thing with CGI is that, you know, I've mentioned a couple of times that I'm not a huge fan of it, but a lot of the time it becomes...
A couple times?
One or two times.
It's kind of your thing.
Yeah, I've got lots of things.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this film. It held up really well for me. Spoiler. It's when a film is bad and then it also has bad CGI as well. That's when I get offended by it. If I'm offended by it, it's like, oh, we've got a problem there. I wasn't really offended by most of the CGI. The CGI I was really worried about was the Pearl stuff when we see the blob.
There is no latex. No, it's latex because they had to... Trivia, bet. Trivia.
Oh, please. Yes, Fiona.
They had to build the set around the blob of latex because it was like too heavy to move. So they literally were like, right, put all that latex there and then we'll build the set around it. There you go.
Yeah, no, maybe great. my deceased former co-host Tom, RIP, maybe he was the one who said it was CGI. I think he mentioned it a while ago and he was like, man, you know, remember that Pearl thing? Horrendous CGI, horrendous. So that was what I was waiting for. But no, brilliant. Quite bleak, actually, that scene. I actually felt quite sorry for old Pearl. Bless him.
No. Do you know why? Do you know why she's... I think it might be a he.
All right.
Yeah, it's a he.
I thought it was a he too. I thought somebody mentioned he. Yeah.
It's a he, not a she. The bit about, the whole Pearl character, like, they were meant to be that obese because they ate, like, children and babies and didn't move.
Yeah,
the only one they could catch. That's meant to be the... Because they were going to shoot, like, little bits of bodies and stuff, and then they realized that was probably a bit far.
Oh, that'd have been pretty good, like, if we'd just had some...
I think it's a good choice to pass on. Yeah,
maybe some dead babies just littered around Pearl, maybe would have been pretty heavy. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, maybe a step too far.
There's a point, isn't there? I like the setup, though. I like the world building, you know, the fact that there's a treaty with the humans, and you get a Gitano, and then obviously the main villain, which is Frost. What do they call him? Something Frost?
Deacon, yeah.
Deacon Frost, that's it.
My kid kept referring to him as Jack Frost. I'm like, no, it's a different movie, bud.
Yeah. Frosty the Snowman was
was a jolly happy soul. Oh, very, very different. God.
Well, the thing, like you said there, Sean, I did like that too. I like that scene where you've kind of got like the lair and the table of head vampires, and you can see that there's sort of tension between the new guard and the old guard. And there's, we find out that you can be born a vampire, that they procreate like humans do. And then you've got the other ones, which Frost is, where he's a turned vampire. So it's like, you're not a pure blood. So there's a little bit of a hierarchy and a lack of respect. Now, I was going to ask you guys this. I don't know if it was ever explicitly stated in the movie, but did you get the impression that perhaps Frost and that head vampire that he takes out to the water to kill, do you think that he, like, Frost was his boy toy, that perhaps he was the one that turned it? And
oh my god, yes, yeah, I wrote that spot on, Dan. I wrote down literally, because my favorite quote in the whole bit, which is favorite quote, sorry, I'm spoiling the end, Ben, was you vermilion turned. I love that. I thought that was a great, but that's an aside. But yeah, I definitely got that impression, because there's definitely a bit where you're just thinking, like, there's, I wrote down, again, Dan, I was thinking of you, because
with the boy toy stuff?
In our last review. No, wait, no.
Is this because of the 3-foot hot dog thing?
In our last review, hold on. No, compensating. Going back to the face off episode.
Great episode.
We were talking about unnecessary face touching. You know, the wave. That scene where they have the unnecessary, like, because he, like, walks up to him.
I can feel that from here.
Because he walks up to him and he just goes, like, he, like, takes all of his face, and I'm thinking, are they going to kiss? What, did I forget this part? Like, it was very homoerotic. Like, what was going on?
Then he says something to him. He says to Frost, he's like, you bore me. And that was kind of like, I took that as a, you were a fun toy, now I'm done with you. And it seems that Frost, obviously he's got a problem with all the old guard, but he's particularly focused on, I can't remember Gitano. The guy's name, but that guy, like, there was something deep-seated and personal there. It's like, oh, you're done with me now. I'll show you who's done with who. And then they, what did you guys think about them throwing on the sunblock to be out in the daytime? I thought it was kind of, I was like, ah, come on, man. If that was the case, all vampires would be doing it, right?
Yeah, is that a thing? Have we seen that before in any other films with vampires?
First time I've ever seen it.
No, but I liked it, though. I thought that was clever.
You liked it, eh? I thought it was like, oh,
I wonder why he was so pasty, because he's really pasty, isn't he? And then when they said about the sunblock, or the sun cream, as we say, or at least in the north, I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I get it. Because I like what they did with the rules. Like, they say, oh, crosses don't work, holy water doesn't work, but silver works, and garlic works.
But so sunblock like, works.
That up.
Yeah.
Is that your biggest issue with the film? I mean, there's a lot of...
No. I just, and if anything, to that point, you could tell that they can't do it for long, right? Because I think, I did really like that scene. I always like the scene where the two, the antagonist and the protagonist are talking in a civil manner. I always enjoy those scenes in movies. So I think there's a moment where Frost is out and he's got that young girl by the neck and they're standing in the park. And Blade says something. It's like, I think your mascara, your makeup's running, right? So indicating that, okay, sure, they can do it for just a little bit. And to that point, I think when they bring that head vampire out to the beach, they're standing there. You can see he's starting to burn. They've got the sunblock on. And then by the time the sun hits, they've got their full biker outfit on to protect them from the sun. So, I, again, I'm not nitpicking. I just thought it was, I thought it was an interesting...
Nitpicking, you say?
An interesting deal. Nitpickers, hey, get that? Yeah.
The only thing with the sun cream, it was sunblock or sunscreen.
Cream.
Great visuals, that scene, when the guy blows up. Yeah, I think that looks all right as well. I wasn't...
Yes, head flies.
You know, I think the CGI, great. I think it holds up actually not too bad in that scene. Actually, you know, visually looks very nice. The only thing with the whole sunblock stuff, it was like, well, is it as easy as that? Because, you know, if I go to the beach and I don't put sunblock on, I also set on fire. So it's like, so, you know, what are we doing? I don't, am I a vampire? What's going on?
I get the impression that I think it's something to do with the fact that they are turned vampires.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Because the guy, Gitano, the guy there, Roast, the main head guy. He
what was his name, Sean? What was his
Gitano,
name?
Gitano. G-I-T-A-N-O. Yeah, Gitano. Sorry. Gitano. Sorry. I think he's a lot like darker in complexion than they are. Obviously, they've always got sun cream on. But I got the impression that it worked for those that have been turned because they're kind of a lesser shade of vampire, like physically and metaphorically. That was what my brain told me anyway.
Maybe that's in the comic books. Maybe I don't know. Maybe you got some information about these vampires. Can just put the old sunblock on and they're good to go.
But getting back to that scene, I really, as I stated, enjoyed the exchange where Frost is like, "Hey, man, like I don't want to kill you. Like, why don't you come join us, man? Like, we could use you. This is like we could rule the entire planet." And then it ends with. I thought it was pretty comical tossing that young girl through a kiosk out into the middle of the road. I was like, you ruined a good scene with a really dopey moment.
I thought it was great.
I don't know what you guys thought about that.
This is what I mean. 90s
but didn't
films,
it look silly?
No,
like,
I loved it. 90s films, this is the difference. Like, Blade smacks a woman in the face. I mean, she's trying to kill him, but he smacks a woman vampire in the face. The villain throws a kid through a window, and she's fine, you know? This is what I mean. Like, in the 90s, there weren't, and I won't get into now, but they weren't frightened to do things that would now be like, oh, you can't do that. You can't. You couldn't possibly put that in a film. And I'm not talking really offensive stuff, so don't take me out of context, anybody.
Well, you can't throw kids through windows. That's a bit of a shame.
All I mean is,
you still throw kids through windows.
Well,
I throw my kid through a window sometimes. It drives me nuts. Is this cool?
No, I enjoyed it. I did.
No, I mean, again, I don't think there's a lot you can tear this movie apart for. I mean, yeah, there's the CGI stuff, especially when we get to the end with Frost becoming the blood giant or whatever.
Yeah, what do you think of all that stuff? All these 12 gods and him becoming, you need the blood of the day or
whatever, right? It's just... You're always going to have some kind of weird, contrived plot device that's going to... Have you seen the guys' original take on what the Blood God was supposed to look like?
Wait, so was old Deacon meant to be like a CGI monster?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, you should go Google it. It's quite the... I think they made the best choice in reshooting and going with the sword fight.
I quite enjoyed my viewing of Blade last night, to be honest. I don't want to sour it by looking at some hideous CGI. And I'm defending it as well.
The only thing with that part, though, and the bit where he, like, explodes with the serum, spiders, why is his left leg completely untouched? It's like the rest of him blows up and his left leg is untouched.
I didn't notice that.
Well, can he not recover from that? Is it like a T-1000 job where it's just like if you get blown up too much, it's just you can't piece yourself back together. Oh, that's too much. No, not going to work.
Was his left leg just standing there? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I swear to God, I get the impression that because there's a nice mix as well.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
Right, well, as I recover from yet more technical woes, I think that's a good time to pause the episode and read out some of the reviews we received this week for Blade. So, the first review is from Shoot the Flick. Blade is an awesome movie. Wesley Snipes, at his peak, brings the character to life. There are so many great and fun moments. Oh, absolutely, I completely agree. Honestly, I'm just going to rewatch it right now. Oh, fantastic. Rewatch it, listen to this review. Plus, it is great to have a movie without a forced love angle. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, Karen's not the best. Thank you very much, Shoot the Flick. Really appreciate it. Next up, we have from Film Rage. Blade allows Wesley Snipes a vehicle to allow everyone else to know how cool he is. With that lever, I can't disagree. And he kicks MF arse doing it. Thanks, Film Rage. Really appreciate it. I really appreciate that you guys took the time to do that for me. Keep an eye out on our vote page on the website, www.filmfloggers.com, where we have our latest film for you guys to vote on. And again, like Shoot the Flick and Film Rage, if you leave your comments on the film, I'll read them out in the bloody episode. I want to get Fiona to start doing this because this is her stuff, the admin. I'm the talent, you see, so I just turn up and speak and steal the show, so. Anywho, really appreciate it. Let's try and get this show back on track, shall we? Oh, yes, and my audio quality drops off slightly for the second part of the episode, so that's always good.
What happened there, Ben? Yeah, everything just maxed out. What's going on there? And Ben's gone. Bye, Ben. Oh, shit. I just saw the recording stop and it was just, no. That was, look at him. Watch him freak out. This is great. Ben, can you hear us? Can you hear us? I can't hear you, man. Yeah, I can hear you. I just can't hear.
Yeah, I think I'm in. I can see it recording again.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop recording and save mine. And then
right, I'm recording back onto fucking Hindenburg. Right, can we clap again? Let me just put this on my penis.
I'm recording mine now.
Why did you buy something called Hindenburg? Something that went down in fucking flames.
Oh, that's not. That's just not.
Oh, so we're clapping. Sorry.
Right, ready? Right. Right, 3, 2, 1. Fuck it.
And hey, we're back. Oh my God. So
I fucked up the clap.
Oh fuck.
Sean,
me.
Forget the clap. The clap's done now. We're back.
I don't have the clap, okay.
Right. I'm just sitting here now on fucking edge in case it goes out again. So
oh, it's great.
Let's try and resume wherever
Please
we were.
Please leave this in. Just... Please leave it in.
You know, I sit on the bed, I'm trying to be relaxed, and
do you know what
software
it was?
Still fucks me over.
It was the universe going, you know what, Ben? You're enjoying yourself too much. You're laying back. You're letting Dan and Sean do all the fucking work. And the universe went...
Pretty much.
The universe went, no, Ben, you can't be this carefree. Sorry.
Or it's because they're like, they want to hear from me, don't they? They're like, Ben, you're not fucking talking.
I don't think it's that. I mean...
Open your fat mouth this time, Ben. Don't let those two bozos do all the work.
So... Yeah, so
right.
I think
continue,
I think,
please.
I think where we were going is last thing I remember is Sean was talking about sort of the climax and with Deacon Frost and his one leg still being exposed.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, thanks, Dan. So go back, anybody, and honestly, because it was in that was the bit. But yeah, thanks, Dan. So cut it in here, Ben, if you want. I'll leave it. Don't whatever. It's the bit where just before he blows up because he's giving him the serum, the main protagonist, Frost. I think they've cut in like the bubbly like flesh in with practical effects where they've actually done an explosion. But I think to kind of marry it together, they've gone, right, well, we need something to map all this blubber onto. So just pick his left leg, because when you watch the explosion, I don't know why I noticed, the left leg just kind of falls away and you can tell that's real. So I'm like, I don't know, because when you watch it back, his whole body expands. Except his left leg. His left leg's just normal. Even his trousers are still there. And you're like, this looks a bit odd. Like, seriously, anybody go back and watch this. It's great. There's a nitpick for you.
I mean, I think watching Ben kind of sweat and stare at his monitor, just hoping we can get through this so he has some sort of episode to salvage.
It's fucking miserable. God.
What?
I'm not going to stop podcasting, you fuckers. I'm not going to do it. I know you want me to, but I'm not going to do it.
Is there anything else that is worth talking about? I think the only other thing that I had written
down, page
of
notes.
Which I don't know what you guys, what's that?
I've got a page full of notes left.
Right, Sean, come on, you're going to hit us. What have you got? Come on, let's go.
No, it's fine. No, go on, Dan. No, sorry, he was finishing his point.
No, I was just going to say the only other thing I thought was kind of unnecessary. I understand why they did it, but the bringing back of his mum. Right. As this sort of like, here's another temptation to have you come join us. Your mom's here. And I was like, I don't know. I remember not liking it at the time. And maybe it was just too telegraphed. But I thought they could have done away with it. But that was just, you know, a very minor flaw that I had with it. But I don't know how you guys felt about it.
I mean, I thought it was more of a kind of, I'll be doing your mom. That's what it felt like from Frost, because that was clearly the implication. Whether or not he's been doing Gitano and Blade's mum.
Oh, I think he's been getting around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, and then he's in that kind of weird coffin bed with the other woman. The other vampire. So he's he's punting about the kid. I mean, no wonder he's so pasty. He's knackered. He's shagged out. So, I don't know. I didn't feel it was kind of, it felt a bit unnecessary. Like, it didn't jump out at me like, oh, for gods. But it did feel, I'll agree with Dan, it was a bit, if you took it out, the film would be no different.
I think for me, it was sort of reminiscent of one of the things I didn't really like about the 89 Batman. This could just be because I was a fan of the comics and I knew that this was something that they did specifically for the movie and had nothing to do with Batman lore. And that was that the Joker killed Batman's parents. And it was like, of course, the main bad guy is like, oh, guess what? I'm the one that killed your mom, right? With Deacon Frost doing that. I'm like, no,
In the comics?
Joe Chill, yeah. That's who killed his parents, right? But to have Deacon Frost, like, we didn't need any more reason to hate you. Like, you're easy enough to hate as it is. It just seemed like that forced piling on just to make him that extra baddie, which I was like, I don't think you needed that. It was not necessary, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and then you get the scene where the mom is, like, right up to his face and, like, practically kissing his chin. And you're like, what's going on here? Well, like, what?
Oh, what's Blade's name? What's his name?
Oh, something shit. Something
oh,
really...
God, what is his real name?
Oh, damn.
Is that Derek or something?
I mean, Eric? Something very I think it's pedestrian. Eric. I think it is Eric, you know.
Oh, it is Eric. Yeah.
Derek or Eric really or something like that, yeah.
Eric.
Wesley Snipes in Eric. Doesn't quite have the same ring.
How is Wesley Snipes getting flashbacks? How is he getting flashbacks of his mum at his own birth?
It's different as a vampire. Yeah. It's different when you're
half breed.
Yeah. Your memories are much more in tune, Ben.
He's seeing his mum from afar while she's giving birth to him.
100%. Yeah.
No, I'm nitpicking your argument, but
I'm with Sean on this one.
Away.
This is legit.
He's already out at this point. And he's getting taken away, and she's like reaching for him, like, Eric, call yourself.
You don't have memories like that? I do.
But he hasn't turned yet. He's still a human. He's turning. He's not the Daywalker yet.
No, he was born the Daywalker.
Yeah.
Oh, right. He turned in the womb to the Daywalker.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's pretty simple biology, Ben.
No, that's reasonable. Yeah, sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have even brought it up. I'm embarrassed. I've embarrassed myself.
Wouldn't be the first time, my friend.
No, I'm just thankful this fucking piece of shit's not turned off again, so that's a bonus.
Give it some time.
What was with that? Fucking that guy, the Curtis, the guy who's with the main lass, Karen. Before Karen meant anything.
That hair was something.
He's such a whiny little shit. He's like, but he has some decent like lines in it though. But he's creepy, like when he's the little zombie thing because he's been bitten, but he turns.
What's the zombie thing? What's that?
Yeah, what was he?
Well, because Frost says it to not Frost, the main guy who's like kind of kooky, the kind of comic relief guy. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Quinn.
The one with Burns. Quinn. Yeah, Quinn says to him. Frost says to Quinn, well, you bit him and he turned into a weird kind of zombie thing. And, like, they put him in that weird crystal maze hall thing, which is bizarre. And then they throw her down it and they're like, oh, shame, liked her. And you're like, what? She climbs out of it easily. But they throw, and then he's, like, saying all these things to her, like, tell me, Karen, do you ever have second thoughts about us? And you're like, I was like, have some fucking dignity, man. Like, you're dead and you're still going after her. And she's way out of your league for a start. Like, just, and it flirting with somebody in a morgue. I mean, come on. Like, before that part, you know?
I did like that scene though, where they bring in the
crispy corpse.
They bring in the crispy corpse, and she's starting to like look at his like, oh, look at his canines here. These are very odd. Yes, and then he pops awake. I thought that was a pretty good scene.
Yeah, his jaw as well. His mandible, is it?
Mandibles. Yeah.
That's the only thing with Quinn, isn't it? It's that Blade has like on a dozen occasions he goes, "I'm going to get you this time, Quinn." Just keeps letting him live. Sort of sets him on fire at the start, doesn't quite
off your
kill
left
him.
Arm, chopped off
then
your
he
right
chops
arm.
His arms off about 15 times. Then he has him on the train, chops his hand off again. It's like, Blade, fuck. Just get him done. Just get rid of him because he's causing so much mischief. Quinn keeps killing people throughout the film. Just kill him. I sort of feel like old Goya, who wrote the screenplay, maybe was in on the joke because at the end he's like, I'm going to get you now, Blade. I've got two arms again. Yeah. Here I come. And he just cuts his head off instantly. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Well, I thought the reason was is because he knew that that was Frost's right hand guy. So I was like, I'm not going to kill you because I think you'll lead me to Frost. And then at the end,
that a pun, Dan?
When he's sitting there,
was that a pun? That? Was that a right hand man? Was that a pun?
No, he's not that clever.
Did I fuck? I have to listen back. I don't know what
you
I
said.
Did there,
you said he's you Frost's right hand man, and I was like, Dan.
Ah, shit. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry,
there
Dan.
You go.
It's just, I was impressed. Sorry, go on.
No, it was good. It was good. It was good. Right. I wish I would have been as astute as you on picking up that one. I could have leaned into it. But at the end there, he's like, yeah, I got no point for you. And he does away with him like with very little effort. I thought that was kind of cool, too. And that was another part that was very appreciated watching it again. And I've said many times, I love comic book movies, MCU, got no issues with it. But where I get lost is the big, gigantic battle scenes at the end, because there's too much going on. I think less is more. And this movie, the action scenes, for the most part, were pretty simple. You know, just some sword fights, some creative ways to kill vampires, like when he finished off Quinn or whatever his name is. He's got that little, what would you call it, that probably silver metal rod that he pulls out of his thing and
stick. It's a stick.
Didn't he? But when he killed Quinn at the end,
kill a vampire.
It was like a garrote or something. Yeah, whatever it was that he used to kill him, he like ripped his head off. I thought it was pretty sweet. And that is something I would like them to do more of in these comic book movies. And again, I know I don't really want to get into the Batman debate, but one of the things that I liked about the Batman was, for the most part, the action was small scale. It wasn't these gigantic fighting aliens in space. I appreciate that because I don't know what it is, but I think our minds just sort of detach from getting involved in the action when it goes too crazy, right? Like when they cut Frost in half and his body is sort of hanging there and the blood sucks him back together. I don't know what it is, but I'm just kind of like, yeah, no, I don't know.
I love that Blade is just like, what the fuck? Like he mouths it and I'm like, this is good. But no, it's a nicer tone to have. Like you're right. Like it's like the bit earlier where they kill the cop. Frost kills the cop and like slashes his neck to pieces. Has a bit of tongue action with the female vampire. And then they just let him drop into this little swimming pool pond thing. And he just floats there and they have that shot that they just, and I don't talk about shots very often, but they have that shot where they just hold the shot and the dead cop's just floating in the pool. The familiar, the ones who, the wannabe vampires, you know, the kind of servant, not servants, but kind of like groupies, if you will. I thought that was really good, but it's funny you mentioned the ending bit because when I was reading about the film, they didn't have that massive fight scene at the end. It was all much more ambiguous. But the problem is when they did the test audiences, which sometimes I agree with, sometimes I don't, because it can massively change a film. I'm looking at you, I Am Legend. With this, people complained there wasn't like a match-off. There wasn't a face-off between Snipes and Blade and Frost. So they put that in. So that whole back-end part, I don't know how much of it they changed or whether there was always a climactic battle. But they made it a lot more. So maybe that's why. They did extensive reshoots because it didn't get a good reaction. So maybe that's why it jumps out so much, Dan, because I thought the same. It feels like, oh, wow, this is massive compared to the rest of the film. So maybe that's why it stands out so much.
But overall, I would say I really connected with the action. I thought it was very well executed. And again, just kind of simple with a little bit of creativity thrown in there with the staking of the vampires. But for the most part, you know, it's Matrix-esque as far as
Matrix Blade-esque because Blade was first.
Fair enough, but I just mean
I'm
that
just, I'm nitpicking. I'm just joshing.
Same sort of time.
I'm just joshing with you. Yeah.
No, it's all good, bud.
Good-natured ribbing.
Good-natured ribbing, eh? Huh, more like rimming. Ugh, you guys, what, your best friends now or something?
You know, so one thing that we didn't touch on very much was Kris Kristofferson as Whistler. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, it was decent. Decent death.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is he dead?
I can't remember, so maybe. I don't know.
oh, spoiler.
He's in the sequel, so...
I haven't seen him for quite a while.
Karen, is it Karen, the lady?
Yeah, it's Karen.
Yeah, it's Karen.
That's unfortunate.
She's not great. Yeah, fine. We need someone, fine. But she's like, oh, you and Whistler, you know, you mean a lot to each other. He's like, oh, well, he makes the weapons and I use them. It's like, yeah, all right, okay. We don't get too much crap with Blade and Whistler sort of bonding. And I know Whistler goes off on his little monologue about, oh, they killed my family. That's why I hunt them and stuff. But it's not too much. We don't get too much. Even when we see Whistler and his apparent death, it's not like we don't see Blade like breaking down, you know, dropping to his knees. He sort of just goes like, ugh, ugh, God, ugh.
Do you know what it's a, you know what it's a bit like? And I'm going to compliment the Batman on this. Do you know what it's a bit like? It's a bit like Alfred and Batman in The Batman, because they show little of them together, but you get the impression, even through the few scenes they have in both films, that they've got a backstory, they've got a relationship, they know their roles perfectly, and they know what they're doing. And if both films kind of say to you, we don't want to spoon feed you, these characters clearly have a built-up relationship and an agreed way of working. And I think that comes across.
Punching that mic again, up there.
Sorry.
Who's punching the mic?
It's getting hot.
Oh.
No, I'm with you, Sean. Yeah, no.
God, he's just got the t-shirt out there. Hang on.
Is that the Batman t-shirt as well?
Of course it's the Batman t-shirt.
Oh, there we go.
That was not for show.
No, Sean, I have to say, I disagree with you there. I think because the whole Alfred...
I'm agreeing with Dan, and you have to...
Well, I'm just saying, you know, not getting into the Batman, but I had a huge issue with the Alfred and Batman relationship. Batman's got Bruce Wayne has just got a complete lack of respect for Alfred. Like, throughout, and it's like, okay, fine. But, you know, I think Whistler and Blade, they get it. They're just, it's very simple. There's no mucking about. I'm sure deep down they love each other. But they're just like, yeah, you know, we got together. I saved him. And we just kill vampires, man. That's what we do. I make this shit and he shoots it. Here we go. It's like, okay, cool. No problem. Yeah. Respect.
Nice and simple. I respect it.
I feel Blade has respect for Whistler. In the Batman, I feel Bruce Wayne doesn't have a lot of respect for poor Alfred. Maybe that will change in the Batman 2, but...
Yeah, he's just sulking, isn't he? He's just sulks all the way through. But, right, let's move on quickly.
I've got classic 90s sped up shit. I've got classic 90s sped up shit.
Do you know what? I've got an interesting... Sorry, notes, Ben. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're the guest, please.
I accidentally, because I was watching it on the PS3, because I'm ancient, and I accidentally knocked the toggle and it put it to 1.5 times during a fight scene, and I did no.
And you didn't notice?
I didn't notice for about 15 seconds, and then I noticed the two arrows and the 1.5x in the corner. I was like, oh, hang on a minute, because the music still plays, and I was thinking, oh, this is quite stylish. And genuinely, that's true. I was like, oh, hang on.
That was quite a 90s thing, yeah. Wasn't it? It was a bit of a 90s trope. You did get a lot of sped up, like, quick up, fucking hell, right, yeah, okay, there goes my head. Yeah, you're lucky your head didn't blow up there, Sean, like the old, you know, the bit at the end when Blade starts pumping the shit in people's heads and their heads. That's quite cool. I think that looks practical-ish. That is good. I enjoy that.
Speaking of sped up stuff, what the hell is with that stupid car chase scene? Like, what the hell is
I
that?
That down too.
Like, that's so out of place. Work. Like, and then they show, like, Blade, Wesley Snipes is driving it. It looks like something from North by Northwest when someone's driving a car. And you're like, what?
It was pretty corny.
It looks terrible and not even like stylized.
It's like they had to get some sped up stuff in. So it was like, well, he's in a car, so you know, it makes sense to do it now. It's like, oh.
Maybe they were like, look, you need to hit this. You need to hit this time mark, and you're about 30 seconds over. They just went, don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. I've got a car chase.
Maybe someone just pressed the wrong button and was just like, you know, that looks pretty cool. It's the 90s, yeah. Man. Just leave
like
it
me in. On the PS3. Why not? Just knocked it accidentally and no one noticed. Yeah.
Well, what else happens? Oh, I've got ripped throat out to throw at someone else. Again, that's the ending when he rips the guy's throat out and throws it at someone else. Pretty cool. The only thing with the ending is it drags, doesn't it? It does drag a bit because we've got the 12 gods and then the blood and the mum comes in. And the only reason she's there is just to put Blade in that fucking box. It's pretty much why she's there. Gives him like a little kiss, says, oh, hi, Eric. Shuts the door, pushes him in, and then that's it. It's like, oh, all right. It just drags. When we get to the fighting, great. When Blade regenerates, drinks the blood, it's like, oh, here we go. Great fighting. Again, similar to the intro. But yeah, I think that's my only issue with the film overall, really. But if there's any issues, it's just that ending is a bit underwhelming. And yeah, I guess mercifully they remove that massive, I'm assuming a CGI blob that we would have got. So, you know, that saved it somewhat. Yeah, other than that, I don't really have that much issue with the film. You know, again, I go back to these 90s films and it's always like, oh, God, you know, how's this going to hold up? Oh, God. Like, Face Off and stuff. I'm always a little bit worried. But no, Had a good
that
time.
Skeleton CGI.
Had a lot of fun.
That skeleton, you know where they're off? That oh, was the yeah, only bit where yeah, I went, oh, that's not good.
Oh, when they start coming out of
yeah,
their mouths?
Yeah, that was just like, oh.
What does that mean? Is that in every vampire, is it? Or just a little mini skeleton with wings?
It was funny when I was watching it with my kid. He was just like, oh my God, that looks so cool. I'm like, really? He's as someone who has, you know, grown up at the peak of CGI movies and how realistic they are, I'm like, you think that stuff looks cool? And he's just like, oh yeah, the CGI in this film is awesome. I was like, just go to bed. Shut up.
I get so jealous when I hear stuff like that. It's just like, God, I used to find stuff fun once upon a time.
Right?
Oh, damn. Damn him.
I was going to say, that's not going to be your kid, Ben, is it? Your kid will get up and walk out. Yeah, he'll walk out the room at that.
What's that guy? Oh, what's he called? Do you know what the actor's name is? The guy who plays... you were calling him a name. I thought I had him down as Dragonetti. Dragonetti. Who's that?
Dragonetti.
Mm. Is that the head vampire?
That's what we were talking about earlier, wasn't it? And you were calling him Kitano, and I was like... Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, maybe. I've got this Dragonetti guy, and I was like, who the fuck's that then?
I have no idea. I didn't write down his name. But I remember him from, like, Madonna video.
Ah, Ben, hang on. Sorry, Dan. I didn't mean to interrupt, even though I've done it. Sorry.
It's fine.
Gitano is his first name. Dragonetti is his second name.
There we go. Then we're both right. It's not a
sorry,
problem.
Dan. Sorry,
there
as you were.
There you go. It's all good.
No, Dan, it's not good. Sean's talking over you. But he's a good actor, isn't he? He's a good actor. He's been in some stuff.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah,
he's been in some Uwe Boll. You know Uwe Boll, the hideous director.
Oh, I know who
you know the guy who's done
about,
House of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Far Cry.
Oh God.
Let's do House of the Dead, Ben. Put that on a poll for Halloween.
Oh, man. Fucking hell.
You want to talk about crapping on a movie? I'll be all about that.
Udo Kier, his name is.
Udo Kier, right, yeah. No, yeah, he's good. He's pretty menacing. I'm buying him as a vampire.
Yeah, I was disappointed that he went so quickly. I liked him. I thought if he was... Not that the other fellow was... what's the other fellow's name? Anyway, the one who plays the main, the sunblock guy, the sunblock kid. Frost. Yeah, why am I finding that hard?
Steven. What's his name? Steven.
Dorff, yeah.
Steven Dorff.
Well, he's known for not being in big Hollywood films, even for the time. He said, I don't like being in them. He likes to be kind of quite independent, but he was kind of won over by the script. And no, I think it shows because you can tell, like, especially now when I think in movies across the board, I'm not just talking superhero films, I think villains in films nowadays are piss poor, whereas not all of them, but the majority of them. But when you look back to, like, the 90s, like the 80s, the 90s, they knew how to do villains. I'm not saying we haven't had some decent villains since. You know, your Heath Ledgers, your Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. I can't remember the guy's name. You know, I'm not saying we don't get decent villains now, Le Chief. But, I thought he was great.
Not to take away from Dorff. I thought he was just fine. I found him, pretty generic villain, but just played well. Like he's like, hey, I want to take over the world. it's his motivation wasn't much more than your standard baddie, and it's not saying that he didn't do a good performance, but I don't see it as, you know what, they don't make villains like they used to. I just thought it was a pretty good portrayal from a part that could be, you know, forgettable. But no one ever talks about Deacon Frost is like one of the greatest villains up there with like Hans Gruber or, you know, anyone else that came from the 90s, you know? Good point, Dan.
fine.
I don't know. I don't have much else that I can really add to Blade other than, you know, pretty good film.
Yeah.
You know, is there any segments that we got to get in, Ben? Any more plugging for your websites? Like,
I'm glad you mentioned those. I appreciate you're humoring me with the segments. Well, the thing with these segments, Dan, is like, I get it. I don't want to do them, but I look at you doing this stuff with this possessed jersey of you of a Vancouver Canucks legend.
Hey.
And it's like, well,
not a legend.
Can I not make up something just as lame and get 16,000 views or something? Well, how many views did that first video get of the jersey? It was 1,000. Yeah. So yeah, just humor me. I need Fiona here because she does all the admin, but she's gone back to Ireland. So it's like, I guess I'll do it. So let me just get them up. So what have we got? I did send them in advance, so I'm not just springing this on you.
And very well done for being prepared, Ben.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I'm getting better. Apart from the bit of the blowout. Yes, apart from the blowout earlier. It's a hot day. You know, technology goes wrong sometimes. So what should we start off with? Should we start off with, I've got Wesley Snipes' shoe size here. So we do US, shall we? I've got them all. I've got US. Okay. I've got Europe, and I've got UK. But we'll do US, shall we? So I don't know. Sean, do you want to go first? Wesley Snipes' shoe size, please. Oh no, he doesn't want to go first. Right, Dan, do you want to go first?
Well, if I'm taking a look at Wesley Snipes, I'm figuring like, what is he? He's like 5'10". Maybe. I don't think he's like a 6 foot. So 5'10". Okay. I'll go for size 8.
Oh, that's what I've gone for, but I've gone UK, size 8 UK, so I don't know what that'll be in US.
Let's see.
Right, okay, so you're both going size 8. So Dan's going...
I'm going size 8 UK.
There has been mass confusion with the shoe size stuff. I thought it was 2. So USA was 10 and then UK was like 8, but I think it's just 1. So there's been confusion. So the answer actually is Wesley Snipes is a US size 10.
Wow. So, okay. So he's got to be about...
For both of you, unfortunately.
Maybe close to 6 foot. Yeah, good for him. All right.
I don't think it matters on you. Like, my brother's taller than me, and his feet are tiny.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You know what they say with guys with...
Does it always correlate into height?
No, I don't think so. No,
I imagine there's some 5'5" blokes out there with size 14. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Might look a little bit off. Might fall over a lot, but... Right, so what else we got? What's next?
Least rewatchable scene.
Oh, thank you, Sean, for jumping. Yes, at least rewatchable scene. What have you got? Sean, we'll go to you first. What have you got for
that bloody bite scene where she's like, oh, please, take some of my blood. And then he starts to bite her, and it basically just becomes this, like, interspersed 1990s orgasm. And you're like, what's this? That was just unnecessary. It was so unnecessary. And she's just like, sorry, I'm
stop.
This even came in worse later on for the cringiest quote. Don't stop, don't stop. I'm like, well, he's going to kill you soon. So you know, good.
Did she say don't stop?
Hold your horses, Sean. Save that one.
I thought she said stop.
Oh, she said don't stop.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe. Good.
Wesley had to get his strength back. You see, Dan.
I guess so. Yeah, right.
Dan Mackles, please. You know, what have you got?
I guess for me, it would have been that car chase. A car chase was really painful to sit through. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Thank you.
I didn't actually bother writing one down, to be honest.
I didn't think so.
It's about the guests.
I didn't think so.
I've got zombie shit. So okay. I'm assuming I meant the Curtis stuff.
Just get to the next
stuff.
Goddamn segment.
I wasn't sure about the Curtis stuff. I thought that was a bit ugh.
Okay.
Who ruined the movie? Did anyone ruin the movie for you? Bit of a bold question, but... Sean, did anyone ruin the movie for you?
Yeah, that fucking Jabba the Hutt lookalike. What the hell was that about?
Oh, Pearl. Oh, yeah. No. I felt pretty sorry for Pearl in the end.
I don't feel sorry for him. It, whatever it was. It's a vampire. And a horrendous one at that.
Dan, anything that ruined the movie for you?
To be honest with you, like, nobody stuck out as terrible for me. Like, there was nobody that was in it for a significant period of time where you're like, get this person off screen because they're completely taking me out of the movie. So, to be fair to Blade, I don't think there was one that existed.
There you go, yeah. I guess this sort of links in. Casting what the fucks?
For me, it was Tracy Lords. Like, do you guys know who Tracy Lords is?
No, sorry. You mentioned this at the start. Please give me some details here. I don't know who this is.
Okay, so Tracy Lords is, I guess you would almost say, notorious for almost ending the adult film industry in the late 80s, early 90s for the fact that she was probably one of the most popular adult film stars from that time. She made, oh God, I don't know how many films over a period of 4 or 5 years.
I think you do, Dan. I think you do.
Oh, I trust me. I had seen Tracy Lords more than once. But the thing was, it came to light that for the first 4 years of her career, she was an underage actress. She started at 16 years old and lied about her age. And then again, was one of the most popular porn stars of the late 80s. And then it was like, oh, hey, by the way, guys, I just turned 19. And it was like, holy shit. Like all of a sudden you had all these manufacturers and distributors of adult films rushing to get all of those films destroyed because it's essentially child abuse material at this point. So yeah, it was quite controversial. And then she, you know, rightfully so, didn't have many nice things to say about working in that industry. And it was quite a bit of controversy. And then she sort of crossed over into mainstream as, you know, kind of like a bit character would come in here and there. I think she was in Zack and Miri, played a, make a porno.
I shouldn't laugh.
But she never, actually, to her credit, I don't think she ever did anything as far as nudity in a film moving forward. And she was dating, I think, Marilyn Manson for a bit. And she has all sorts of this interesting life that she had led. So whenever she pops up, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's Tracy Lords.
Well, that's very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That name's escaped me, actually.
Wait, it's the wrong era for me and you, Ben. Like, we were kids in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hadn't delved into the porn industry at that point. Yeah.
She was also a kid in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm assuming you can't really go back and rewatch those videos anymore.
You can't find those. I think they're hard. But I'm sure somebody's got a collection somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. What else have we got? Cringiest line of dialogue.
I mean, I had a casting what the fuck, but it doesn't matter. We'll move.
Oh, sorry, Sean. Damn, just went on and on. I just, yeah. Yeah, Sean, please, casting what the fuck.
Yeah, so just to try and pick the mood up a little bit, guys, after that. Anybody listening? Yeah, my casting what the fucks was Curtis. Like, he's, like, the guy, for one, there's no way you're going out with it. Like, there's no way. And the fact he's just so cringy and it's, like, it's unbearable. And I just thought the actor was just poor as well. No offense to him.
Yeah. I get it. Like, he wasn't great, but for me, when I ever think about like bad casting, it's somebody that plays a significant role and you're just like, holy shit, like get this guy off screen, right? But no, fair enough.
Nothing jumped out at me, but Ben gave me some segments and I thought I'd humor him, you know.
I appreciate it, Sean.
Good for you. I mean, I honestly didn't write anything down. I was just gonna do it on a whim because, you know, Ben doesn't.
I still care at this point, Dan. I'm not quite where you are yet, but
give it some time.
Don't defend yourself, Sean.
Speaking of defending yourself, I'm joking.
You need to shut the fuck up.
What else have we got? Cringiest line of dialogue and then best quote after. So cringiest first. Anything?
Don't stop.
Yeah, that is pretty cringy, isn't it?
For me, it wasn't necessarily dialogue, but it was that scene in the beginning where Blade stakes Quinn on either side. And then he kind of leans back and does the little fist pump. I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think we needed that.
Did we mention at the start? Yeah. God, I can't believe we almost got through this whole episode not talking about that. Really cool fight. It was like, wow, yes, here we go. Dum, dum, dum. That music's pumping. And it's like, oh, wow. Oh, God, Blade, you've just ruined everything with that. What have you done?
Yes, I guess this is what we're doing here.
Yeah, that was thoroughly enjoyable. Yeah, yeah. Best quote? Any good quotes?
Yes. I've already spoiled it, but yes.
Good.
You vermeerly turned. The sexual chemistry of that line, it just jumps out at you. You're just like, what is going on? That's between the main guy and Frost, because he's talking about it. It's like, honestly, there's more chemistry there than there's 10 times the chemistry there than there was between Pattinson and Kravitz, guaranteed. So that's what I mean. Like, that's what you want. Sorry, I'm just poking.
Okay.
No, it was honestly, that was probably I enjoyed that because it comes after a great speech as well.
The fact that is what turns your crank versus Kravitz and Pattinson speaks a lot. It's all coming in. It's all coming into focus for me now. I get it.
I mean,
it's cool.
It doesn't
man.
Turn my crank cool. in that respect.
Ah, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. You don't need to defend yourself. I support it, man. I support it. what else we got, Ben? Because I got a like 4-hour drive in front of me. So
any like quotes? That, I've got
please
quote.
Don't please don't go down. Some of my.
I've got a quote.
I love you, Sean. You know that.
Right, we'll just stop the recording, shall we? Just go and get a room. Ugh. From Quinn, it's, I'm going to be naughty. I'm going to be a naughty vampire god.
Just like, fuck that. Me,
Quinn. Do you know what? I thought that was kind of funny. I was okay with it.
It was good. He was good. I'm pretty sure the guy who played Quinn, I don't think he was meant to be in it that much. And then he was like, he jumped on set and everyone was like, oh, this guy's pretty funny. Let's bring him into more scenes. So, yeah, that was pretty good. I quite like that. Yeah, I think that'd do. I've got Amazon one star and 5-star reviews. So we'll finish off on that.
Good.
Because I'm sweating and I'm afraid that this is going to blow up again, this box. So Amazon 1-star review. The worst movie I've ever seen. This is pretty badly written. I made the mistake of seeing this movie at cinema. I would have walked out after the ridiculous opening sequence. Jesus. You're right, yeah.
Is this your cousin,
but I went
Sean?
With a friend. let me finish. But I went with a friend in his car, so I couldn't get home. The fight moves are so false, and the plot is as predictable as Wildcats.
The movie.
I don't know what. Right. Okay. Don't waste #. You will feel robbed. Buy The Lost Boys or Hammer Horror instead. What? Hammer Horror.
Really?
Fine. That's a decent Hammer. Yeah. Fine. Okay. Any thoughts on that?
Is this you stealing segments?
That's pretty funny.
No.
This is a 1-star review, and then I'm going to give you a 5-star review. You see, because this seems to be a thing in podcasting. Yeah, people are interested, apparently.
I've got a friend who's made a whole podcast on bad reviews, so what can you do?
Oh, yes. Okay. 5-star review. Great vampire movie. Very good for an older movie. The music in this movie is great, especially the nightclub scene at the start of the movie. There you go. Plenty of bass if you have a Dolby Atmos system. Yeah, I don't. The special effects hold up well. Great vampire movie. There you go.
That's good.
I don't have a Dolby Atmos system, annoyingly, but I'm sure it sounds fantastic on it. When the Patreon money starts rolling in, I will do. that's enough, I think. That's enough. I've got more here, but I'm in bed. I'm ready for a nap.
I think that was a good run. So
yeah, it was decent. Apart from the little miss, the little hiccup, that wasn't too bad.
Which was not our fault. That's on you.
That was technology. Yeah, exactly. So Sean, we'll get to your favorite part of the show. Please plug before you go the hundreds of yourself spin-offs that you have, plus obviously your original podcast.
Sean from Defend It Yourself. No, not Defend It Yourself. Jesus Christ, I'm getting around myself now. Review It Yourself is my podcast. Christ almighty.
That's one of them.
Yeah. Defend It Yourself, the spin-off. It's where you come on and defend your favorite bad movie / film. Hate same movie. What's my other one?
Dan refused to come on and talk about hockey, I think, for one of your other ones.
I don't think he refused. I just threw an invite out there and it never got reciprocated. Right. Didn't get reciprocated.
He's very busy.
He's very busy
with the old Canucks.
I mean, it takes him a week to get through a hot dog, so it's going to take a while. What else? Yeah, defend it, review it, explain it yourself, which is the come on from another country and tell me about ice hockey, or as another angry Canadian said earlier on Twitter, they weren't angry, they were just joking, I think. It's just hockey. Well, no, it's not. There's hockey and ice hockey, but it's not getting rid of that. Is that it? I've probably done more, but, go over and check it out. Wherever you find your podcast.
Yeah, good. Dan, you doing anything other than just trying to
just your shit,
ruin film vloggers?
That's just
break my spirit.
I'm just riding your coattails, buddy, you know?
How did you find the segments? Do you think they're a keeper?
It's good. Yeah, it was a highlight for me.
Dan, I'm just trying to be like everyone else, for fuck's sake.
Good. That's good.
I'm just trying my best.
You're killing it, man.
Where can we find you, Dan? Like on Canucks or something? I don't know.
Guys, if you want to find me, talk all things Canucks, NHL hockey, I'm on Twitter at Dan Mackles. And again, we have a lot of fun on here, but being a regular contributor to Film Vloggers is fantastic. I love doing it with you, Ben. So again, thanks for making me part of your little crew.
Oh, Dan, it's you're more than welcome. I love having you.
Okay, I'm leaving now. I've got to go.
Oh, okay. thanks, everyone. That was, I think that was fun. I look forward to editing it. Thanks, Sean.
Cheers. Cheers, Dan.
Woo. Fuck.
So warm. So fucking warm.
Right, pause. Well, it should be okay with the collapse, even though they're about 15 seconds out. Yeah.
And now for the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's hear from Dan Mackle's 9-year-old son and his review on Blade. Yes, Dan Mackles is that bad of a father. Ah, oh, poor Mackles. This guy can't do anything right, can he?
All right, so we just finished Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Overall thoughts, what did you think about it?
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah? What parts were your favorite? Like, what was the one part that stands out where when you first started watching it that you're like, okay, I am totally into this movie?
When they were in the bar scene, in like the nightclub, and then Blade just slashes them and then they turn into ash.
The bloodbath. You see, that was interesting because that when we were watching that scene and the first couple of vampires that he slashed and they started to disappear, you said you really liked the CGI effects in this.
Uh-huh.
You liked how they just turned into ash, eh?
Yep.
Now, Blade himself, the character, what did you think of Blade? Out of all the superheroes that you've seen, how does he stack up?
I think if I had a rank of all of them, he would be in, like, 25.
In the top 25. Okay. No, fair enough. Fair enough. I respect that. You said that you didn't like the sexy stuff.
Yep. Nope.
What was it about? What was it about that part? Because you made a point to say that to me. You're like, I don't like the sexy stuff.
It was because it reminded me of a movie that was a time we watched a YouTube video that almost made me barf.
Due to sexy stuff?
It had like weird. It like reminded me of a vampire movie that was on.
Like the Kill Count or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, good to know. Is there any other things that you want to point out about what you thought about Blade?
I didn't love the CGI when he was being slashed, when the blood god was being slashed to bits, and then he was like reforming by the blood.
Yeah, so the CGI, there were some good thoughts, good ideas. But back in 1988, they didn't really have the skill to make it look as good as they do now. And you kept calling him Jack Frost. His name was Deacon Frost. Mm-hmm. Jack Frost is something completely different. So we'll get to the big scores. Out of five flogs.
Okay.
What would you give this?
I would give this a 3 flogs out of 5.
Oh, okay. So 3 flogs means it's a below average movie.
Uh-huh.
So the more flogs you give it, it means the worse it is. So you'd
Okay. Then I would give it, probably get 2.
2 flogs? That's fair. How hard would you make those flogs? Like super hard?
Or
would you use a paddle or just your hand?
I would use probably a hockey stick.
A hockey stick. Okay, that's good. Keeping it Canadian. All right, my friend. Well, thank you very much to contributing to Film Floggers. Now, go to bed.
Okay.
Yeah, brush your teeth too.
Good night.
Yeah, bye. Staying up way too late. Don't tell your mom. Don't tell your mom we watch Blade either.
Oh, she already knows, Dan. She's an avid listener.
Also, thank you, Dan Mackle's 9-year-old son, for remembering to give us his flog score, which none of us did. Should we make this a regular thing, everyone? Should we get Dan Mackle's son and exploit him and make him watch 18-rated films? Let us know. Is this what's going to make Film Floggers huge? Forcing underage kids to watch inappropriate films? Fine, so be it. Sign me up. Talking about signing up, sign up for our Patreon. Patreon.com/filmwafflers. There's a tier for £1. £1. Tight asses, come on. You get this episode early.